to carry, to think that everything is on you. And I get it. You may have a lot of responsibilities, but if you are a living, breathing child of the Most High God, God doesn't want you to feel weighted down like everything is just all on you. And if something's not going to work, if you don't just kill yourself to do it, let me tell you something. It's on God. It's on God, and He is the author and the perfecter of your faith from the beginning of it to the end of it. He knows exactly what He's doing. So I'm going to begin to pray right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, Lord, under the sound of my voice. God, for every anxious person that's in the place this morning, Lord, I ask You for a replacement right now. God, give them peace that passes all understanding to come into that heart right now. Lord, I thank You that You're walking up and down every single aisle. And God, You search the heart and You know it. Lord, You know the heart more than we could even know it. So Lord, right now I thank You that for every little strand of anxiety that could be in us, every thought of fear, every thought of what if, God, I ask You to replace it right now with just the peace of God that passes all understanding. God, I speak out cancer in this place right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind it up. I tell it to leave Your people right now in Jesus' name. God, I speak over every medical report that doesn't line up with Your word. God, I tell it to become clear right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every backslidden person, God, that should be here, Lord, I ask that You do what only You can do. God, and draw them in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome this morning to Paris Christian Center. I'm Pastor Kelly Sprick. This is an interdenominational ministry. It has always been that way since 1987 when we founded the ministry. It'll always be that way. You're not going to catch me up here talking to you about denominational things. I really don't care about those things. I am very straightforward, and if you're a very easily offended person, I'll probably offend you in the next 45 minutes. Because the Word of God, it is offensive. Because the Word tells us where we're wrong, and the Word tells us when we need to change. And lots of people don't like to be wrong, and they don't like to change. I hope that you're not that people. I hope that God has the right to come into your life and tell you what needs to change, what's not working for you, what'll help you better. So this, I always like to tell people, because people go into church, and we have an idea of what we think church is, and I want you to throw all of your ideas away. And just let the Lord be the Lord of your life, and let Him be real to you. Let Him be real to you. If you think that you need to stay out of the church because you don't have the right thing to wear, or because you feel like you're not going to be accepted, or if you feel like you're sinning too much and you don't want to be a hypocrite, I encourage you to come. Don't let that keep you out of church. I want you to keep it as real with yourself as you possibly can. In Jesus' name. I'm going to preach this morning about a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. And if I have to preach something like this, I want you to know that I'm going to preach it first and foremost to myself. I'm going to preach this morning on irritability. You are not going to catch me up here talking about a bunch of boring stuff. Now, can I just be myself and be real with you people? Okay, I love each and every one of you, but I do not want to fit in a normal pastor mode. I was not born to do that, and God doesn't want me in the mold. He wants me out of the mold, okay? So He broke the mold when He put me and Dad here on the planet. But anyhow, what I want to just explain to you is I'm not that pastor that's going to sit here and preach about the theology and the history and all that stuff. It has its place, and I will not diminish that because it does. It's honorable. It's in the Word of God, all the lineage and all of the things. But my niche, and it's best if you can know what your niche is in your life and be the expertise in your niche, okay? My niche is to help people learn how to live every day. Every day. Because it's not every day that you need all of the theology about everything that happened in the Bible. But you do need to know how not to cuss somebody out in harps, okay? Now, I only use that as an example because I get asked that question a lot. How did I do that? How did I? Well, you had it in you, and that's how you did it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It was inside of you, and it came out. And that's just One plus one is going to always equal two. And when we have things inside of us, they're going to come out of us. So life will be more meaningful as a believer when you can just let your pastor be themselves. And that's what I'm going to do. Irritability. I think that the majority of the people on this planet, they carry around a level of irritability at all times. And most of the time, that is because of unprocessed emotion or undealt with bitterness, undealt with circumstances. Some of us, we are just walking around and we are irritable at all times. So by the time that just any little thing happens, it just sends us over the top. Now I'm going to explain to you this morning how to not be that way, and then I'm going to explain to you why you shouldn't be that way. I don't like to tell people to do something and then not give them a way how to not do it. I think that when you deliver a message about what you should do, you should have reasons why, and then you should give explanations on how to do it. So go with me now to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to begin to read at verse 23.
Hallelujah.
Now, what I notice in myself and what I notice about people in general is everyone always wants to pass the buck. And nobody wants to take responsibility. I encourage you to own your life, every single bit of it, the successes, the failures, the slip-ups, the right moves, own it all. Only when you can own every bit of it can you be free of the things that you don't want in your life. If you can't own it, you can't be free from it. It is always, when you are irritable, that is always an internal matter of your heart. It is an internal matter of your heart. But what we like to do is we like to make excuses for our behavior. How many of you know we like to make excuses for our behavior? And we're full of excuses. We have a whole entire generation that we've coddled, and none of them can take any type of responsibility. And in 50 years from now, that's going to show. I said in 50 years from now, probably it's not even going to take 50. I give it about 25, and we're going to see the mess that we made just by coddling our kids and acting like everything's okay, little Johnny. No, everything is not okay. You're a brat, and we're going to have to do something else. Praise God. I mean, that's just life. I've done it. Y'all have done it. We've all done it. And I said, I'm going to keep this real, and I'm going to keep it real so we all know which part of the message we need to work on. And like I said, I'm the most irritable person I know. And I like to say, well, it's because of what I do for a living. No, it's because you're irritable, Kelly, and you need to correct it. There. That's what it looks like when you just own it. It's an internal matter. And some of the things that we like to say instead of owning it are, well, this person did this and they caused me to be this way. No, you allowed them to get you that way. Well, I can't help what I feel. I'm just irritable. My mother was that way. No, you don't have to live under that generational curse. And your mama had the same thing, and in hers, she didn't have to do either. When we choose to have something inside of us, that's an internal problem. If Jeff just ticks me off, guess who's got to work that out? Me, not Jeff. That's on me. See, here's the deal, because you're only answering for you when you go to heaven. Well, I killed three people when I was down here, God, but they ticked me off. No. You did wrong. So being irritable, it's something inside of us. Now I'm going to dig deeper. Here's what it is. When we are irritable with people or with a circumstance, 10 times out of 10, there was an unmet expectation. You expected something, and it didn't happen how you expected. And because of that letdown has gotten inside of you, the internal problem we just talked about, and if you let it stay, it will turn into irritableness. And when you wake up in the morning, you're not going to be happy. When you see your coworkers, you won't be happy. When you do this or do that, there's always that little thing. And just the first bad thing or wrong thing that happens in the day, there you are and you're irritable for the rest of the day. Jesus came that you'd have life and that you'd have it in abundance. Now, that's not only speaking of material things. God wants to bless you with the material things, but more than He wants to do that, He wants you to live and dwell in peace and joy. And I don't know too many believers that do that, including myself. We're going to keep this as real as it's going to get, Paul. So it's an internal thing. And the internal thing, when we sum it down, we expected something out of a situation or a person, and it did not happen how we expected. And because of that, we are let down, and we are mad, and we are upset. And that is, if you let that stay there, that's going to fester. And when something festers, it's just like a boiling pot, and it's going to just continue until it spews up out of you. And that is why the Word of God says, now out of the abundance of the heart, that mouth is going to speak. When you open your mouth and you never have anything good to say, you need to reevaluate what Jesus Christ has done for you, because you should have something good to say. I am literally training myself to not ask people how they are, because I get into these Dr. Phil sessions that I don't need to be in. Okay, I'm trying to Dr. Phil myself. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, and I love God's Word. I encourage you to get into His Word, because when you get into His Word, what happens? The Word gets inside of you. The Word is the most beautiful thing that a believer has, because in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. The Word tells us every single thing about every single matter. So when it comes to irritability, there's many different points that we can pull out of just this one verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, above all else. So here's everything, and the Word of God saying, above everything, above every single thing that you do as a believer, the most importantly, we could easily replace this and say, the most important thing to do is, but here's God, and He is saying, above everything. And then He gives us instruction, and He says, guard your heart. So above all, guard your heart. What does that mean? Keep a watch over what you let inside of your heart, because your heart is going to dictate everything. And here's the problem with our heart. The biggest problem with your heart is that it lies to you. I'm going to say that again. Somebody really needs to get a hold of that, because, see, we're living in a world where we are dictated and we are making moves off of what we feel in our heart, and they're dumb moves. Amen. The Word of God tells us the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. Now, Caitlin, if somebody lies to you 10 times, you're not going to listen to anything they say, right?
Right.
Exactly. How many times has your heart lied to you, and then you acted on it, and then it was like, that was dumb? How many times do you have to relearn the lesson? I said, how many times do you have to relearn the lesson? I'm asking you. Because let me explain something to you. I'm going to keep this message so real. I love y'all so much, I'm going to sober the heck out of you. There ain't nobody going to wonder what's been going on up in here. Believers should not have to continually relearn the lesson. Okay? Your heart has the ability to lie to you, and it does. And the Bible tells us, above all, here's what you have to do with your heart. You got to guard that thing. That's the most important thing. Because of its ability to clog up and cloud our judgment. Above all, guard your heart. Now, I am still a sweet person with lots of good qualities, and I have to tell myself these things. Because being in the ministry can really get you where you're real gruff. And here's the truth about life. Brother Mike, when I first started pastoring, I would do everything people asked me to do. And guess what that did? Hi, Mayor. It just wore me out. Because probably 3/4 of what I was doing, God didn't call me to do. Now, here's where people get it wrong. We think that every nice deed is God called. I'm not telling you to not do good deeds. Here is what I'm saying, and you need to hear me very clearly. Do the good deeds that God calls you to do. Okay? Because, Bobby, there's some people, God is trying to work some correction in their life. And good, sweet people that think that good deeds get them into heaven, they just try so hard to get to just constantly do, and then they get worn out when God never called them to be doing some things. I would do everything that everybody asked. And then I noticed that I became very irritable because I was tired and I was worn out. And God said, Kelly, that's not the ministry that did that to you. That was you. Some of the irritability is because you're zigging when you should be zagging. And the Word tells us, above all else, guard your heart. And if you're one of those type of people that I just described, here's how it backfires on you. I love doing for people. I really do. And if the people that are closest to me, you know that about me. And I still do for people. But I do it now under the direction of God. Whereas before, it was all Kelly. And let me tell you something. If you've got a bumper sticker on your car saying that I'm the pilot and God's my co-pilot, you need to rip that thing off of there and you need to let God be the pilot. Because see, you ain't got no business. You ain't got the pilot license. All that co-pilot business, that just sounds good on a bumper sticker and nothing else. Because if you're driving, you're going to be messing up. But here's how that type of mentality works to get us irritable. Cece, I did everything, and then I was irritable. So then I would say, and here's where the message is fixing to become relatable, because I believe that many people say this. That's it. I'm not going to do one more thing for nobody. Not doing nothing. Not going to do one more thing. People just take advantage of me and the whole human race is just terrible. And nope, I'm not going to do nothing else for nobody else. Have we said that or not? Let's keep it real up in here. We get so sick of it because we're doing things that God didn't ordain for us to do, and then we let our little flesh have a moment, and then we get all haughty. We're like, I'm not going to do one more thing. And then God will actually tell us, something to do, and then we want to backtalk him. Because we've allowed ourselves to not guard our heart. I am learning the gift of saying no. And what a freeing thing that is. And if you ain't gotten that down, you need to look in the mirror and say it as much as you can. As much as you can. It says, above all else, guard your heart. When something irritates you, you have two choices. You address it or you let it stay. Because it's your job to get it out of there. If you let that continue to irritate you, you're going to have something compiling all the time. Why did it irritate you? What happened? You thought somebody was going to do something, they didn't do it. You thought a situation was going to be different, it wasn't. You had an idea of what you thought life was going to be like for you at your age, and it's not. You thought that it was going to be this way, and it didn't turn out that way. I understand that, but more importantly than I understand it, God understands that. And he gives you, not advice, but he just gives you instruction. People think that God's word is advice, and it's not. It's instruction. God will tell you to not do something, and then he'll tell you why. And here we see it in his word. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. For it is the wellspring of life. So whatever is in your heart, it is coming out. How many of you have children in here? I think if you ask every parent that's an actual parent and loves their children, if you said, what do you really want for your children? Somebody asked me that. Of course I'm going to say I want them to love Jesus. Of course. Let's take that obvious out of there. Most parents, if not all of them, would say, I want my child to be happy and to have a good life. God feels the same about you, except for however you feel about your child. God feels that, but on such a higher level. He doesn't want you to live with the irritation and the aggravation. But he has to have you working and doing your part. And your part is guarding your heart. Because if you're not guarding it, stuff is getting in there. And how many of you have ever had to deal with a clogged sink or a clogged something? Okay, that's a real booger. I took a sink apart one time and good old YouTube helped me do that, and then I couldn't figure out how to YouTube it back together. And what would have just cost me like $100 cost me like $300, because by the time I got done with that, the plumber was like, there's no hope for any of this. We got to just start over. For it is the wellspring of life. I want to speak to that person today, and everything's bothering you. I want to speak to that person today. Actually, God wants to speak it to you. To that person, that everything right now, it's bothering you. It's irritating you. You don't want to have the aggravation, but you're just irritated just about 24/7. I want to explain something to you. The quicker you can pluck that irritation out of you, it's just as quick as you can do it, you need to. and you say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know how to do that. Here's how you do it. First of all, you say, okay, this really irritated me. Number one, you acknowledge that it's something irritated you. And that may seem simple, but very few people can even like be so real with themselves and say, yeah, that bothered me. Oh, no, I'm okay. It's okay. You're fuming mad, but you're going to tell everybody, it's okay. It's okay. No, I'm good. I'm good. No, I'm really good. Everything about you is saying it ain't good, and you're slamming things around, slamming the door, kicking the cat, grabbing your husband out, but you're like, I'm good. No, we know you ain't good. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Why are you slamming things around? So number one, acknowledge that you're irritable. Acknowledge that you're aggravated. Number two, ask yourself why. Why? Number three, because this goes hand in hand with number two, the why is always because you expected something and you didn't get it. Number three, stop expecting you out of everybody else. Everybody just said, oh, crap. Here's how you know you're doing that. Well, I would have never done that. How dare them? Who does that? Only a terrible person would do that. No? Because, see, you ain't them. You don't know if they're terrible or not. You can judge that in another person, but you don't really know. I thought a lot of people were terrible, only to find out they had something going on in their life I had no idea about. Because here is something I want to explain to you. Everybody has something going on that's hurting them so bad they can't even talk about it. And it's on the inside of them. Case in point. Wednesday morning. How many of you can almost tell when you're going to be irritated? Me too. Wednesday morning, I got up, and within the first 5 minutes of me getting up, I had broke my coffee cup, my favorite one that I have had like for 15 years. And as it fell off of the washer machine, and it like crashed into a million pieces, I literally said, and Frank was still in the bed, I said, hello, Satan. Hello. Because I'm real attached to that thing. He always says, you're not emotionally attached to nothing. You'd get rid of me in a heartbeat. No, I wouldn't. But see, I'm like a little gnat. My self goes from one thing to the next, and I'm too busy to sometimes act like, you know. But let me tell you, I was attached to the coffee cup that I've had for a long time, most of my adult life. And there it crashed into a million pieces. And I thought, hello, the devil's going to try to get me today. Well, he sure did. The devil never disappoints. The whole day was a foreshadowing of the whole day. And it didn't get no better when I got to church. Because I had done decided I was going to stay irritable for the whole day. And Dad said, Kel, you may actually have to come up to the altar and pray with me. I don't know what it's going to take for you. I said, look, I don't know either. I'm going to have to like bathe in the anointing oil. I don't know. But I'm just feeling irritable. And I was ready for Wednesday to just be over. And I got up in the bed with my little covers. And I told God, God, I took your day that you gave me. And with my attitude, I did the wrong thing with it. I can't blame it on anything other than myself. God, help me with my attitude and my irritability. Because, God, it's not anybody's fault but mine. Are people going to do things that are going to aggravate you? You can count on it. You can mark it on the calendar. Every day that ends in Y, you're going to have that opportunity. I promise you that. But it's what you do. Because if you could see the people that left this life wishing they could have one more day. There's people that left this life and they wanted to still live and they did not get the opportunity to. Why is life so important? Because every day is a gift. Some of us walking around here like it's a drudgery. I said, some of us walking around here like it's a drudgery. I just see somebody coming in here today and just thinking that everything is on you. And let me tell you something, it's not. That's a false mentality that the devil tries to give you to make you feel like that everything would fall apart if you didn't just hustle and bustle and kill yourself to make it happen. And here's what I can tell you, it's all on God. It's all on God. God doesn't want you unhappy. He doesn't want you hurting, and He doesn't want you irritated. Go with me to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 together. See, we want situations and people, we want them to come in line with our ideas and our way of what we think they should be doing or how something should go. How many of you have lived long enough that you understand that you can't control other people? How many of you, keep your hand up. How many of you have lived long enough that you understand that you have a very hard time even controlling yourself? Put the other hand up. Praise Jesus for some honesty up in here. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? You know how many friendships and relationships are broken just because someone expected everybody to do it their way? I'm going to say it one more time. Do you know how many relationships and friendships and just different types of relationships are broken and ruined just because people can't understand that people aren't going to do it their way? Do you know how many grown children will not speak to their parents just because their parents can't accept that they aren't going to do it exactly how they thought? If you've got grown parents in here today, or I hope you got grown parents, praise God. I am a 40-year-old grandma of 7, so there's things that can happen. But if you have grown children, and you are irritated with them, that irritation is a product of your lack of trust in God. That was a lot. I'm going to say it one more time, and I want you to just let it sink in. If you're walking around and you're irritated with your grown kids because they ain't doing, oh, they just ain't living right. You know what? They probably ain't living right if that's what you're saying about them. But it dictates your mood. That's a product of the lack of trust that you have in God. Oh, I trust God with everything. And the first time your dumb grown kid does something, you're like, where is God? My kid's doing that for the 47th time. Guess what? This is probably a bigger lesson for you than it is for them. I got to the point in my life, I remember right the day and where I was. I was on the very top of my staircase that was 14 stairs high. I got on the phone. I realized that I had done some dumb things, and I called my dad, and I said, listen, I'm going through something right now, and it's one, pardon my French, hell of a storm, and here's the deal, what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let me do this. Because I did it. And I'm going to own every part of it. And in the owning it, God's going to help me. And I'm going to get to where I know God and who He is. And just watch. Dad, don't get in the thick of this with me. Dad would die for me any day. And most parents would. God never intended for your children to just exhaust you to the point where you're so irritated, you're upset all the time. You either trust God with that kid or you don't, and that's what it boils down to. Because you can't make them, in case you ain't realized this about your adult kids, you can't make them do diddly squat. But what you can do is pray for them and keep praying for them and stop giving them the silent treatment just to show them and you go on and you be happy. Because here's the deal. It's okay to go on and have a good day and rest assured God's going to go to yours. Melissa, one day, how many of y'all remember when I first started pastoring, I used to sit about where you and Joe Helton are. I used to sit in the back till God instructed me to start sitting on the front seat. One day I sat in the back about where you are, and I told God, God, I am so brokenhearted about my family. I don't think I can preach. And God, not only do I think that I can't preach, I don't think that I should. There's something about being irritable and brokenhearted where the devil comes in and makes you feel like you're inadequate to do what God called you to do. That's a lie. It's in those moments you better do it all the more. And God said, Kelly, if you'll preach to my little sheep, I'm already going to yours. The irritableness comes out when we feel like there's no hope and we're irritated, and now what? Look here, it's on God. He's going to work it out, and you don't even have to know how He's going to do it. I said, you don't even have to know how He's going to do it. Because, Melissa, does it really matter how He does it? Some of us is too concerned with the how that we just, I mean, the only thing you need to know is that God is. He's going to do it. You don't need to know how He's going to do it. That's really none of your business. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Well, I want this person to do this a certain way. Well, I want this for this person. I want this person to have a great life. Let me explain something to you. You can want for other people all you want, and that is not a bad thing. To each their own, and people have to want it also. There's people right now, it grieves the absolute heck out of me how they're living and the things that they have decided to do with their life and the way that they have turned their back on the living God. It has grieved me to my absolute core of me. To the point where when I hear certain songs, I can't just help but just to weep and just to say, God, I know this isn't your will for me. And look here. God has said, Kelly, you go on and you have a good day. On purpose. Because here's the thing. Until those people feel like they want to turn their life around and they start living right and they start having a good life, they ain't going to. You can want something for someone so bad that it'll ruin your day. And until people get that stirring and conviction for their own life, it won't happen. And here's what I can tell you. If you feel like, oh, it's not going to work out if I don't worry and stress over this, look here, it's going to work out so great, you're going to be shocked. Because your worry and your stress, it adds nothing to it. There's a couple people, and even their name crosses over my little brain, I say, Lord, thank you. No, God, that didn't turn out exactly how I thought it was going to. But God, that only means that it's going to turn out better. So God, right now, I give them to you. I put them up on that altar. I'm going to leave them there. I'm going to leave the situation there. God, I'm not even going to think about how it could go good or bad or whatever. I'm just going to leave it with you. That's it. Because, see, there's things that battle inside of us. How many of you feel a battle going inside of you sometimes? It just like, a lot of times the battle is, I don't want to be irritated about this, but I'm irritated about it. How do I not be irritated? You just open up your heart and you decide you're going to let it go. Yes, it chapped your rear. They have chapstick for that. I get it. Boy, have I been up out of shape on some things. To a point where I was having bad days over it. The first year I pastored, I was sleeping one night. And I woke up and I was just praying for this couple. And I was just racking my brain on what I was going to do to help them. And God said, Kelly, you don't need to do anything to help them because they ain't interested in changing. And you are losing sleep over what's going on with them, and they're sleeping just fine right now. Am I saying don't be a good person and do for others? No, but I'm telling you that you need to. You know what the good rule of thumb is? I've grown up hearing this. I believe it wholeheartedly. Look at what God is doing in someone's life and you mimic that. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51. We're going to look at verses 10 and 12. Psalms chapter 51, verses 10 through 12. You know, the majority of the time, we want the circumstance to change. And many times, God is wanting us to change. God is wanting us to change. Some of us are taking some things way too personal. And it's leaving you hurting very badly on the inside. And you're almost grieving over the things that didn't happen the way that you expected them to. I understand that. I have gone through that. Life is a constant grieving over what we thought was going to happen because it didn't end up that way. That only means there's a better way. Okay? It only means that. It only means there's a better way. And you think, well, God, that broke my heart. How could there have been a better way? We can't even fathom how God orchestrates and how he works. For the year 2025, there's been a couple situations, and they have been heartbreaking and gut-wrenching, and I've been mad, I've been glad, I've been irritated, I've been every which way a person could feel about something. And in some of my very deep conversations, and I encourage you to have some conversations with God because he's going to give you some very divine insight. And I was taking some things that people did too personal. Well, God, how could they do that? I didn't think they had it in them. I didn't think that they were that person. How could they? And here's where we go wrong. How could they do that to me? Let me just tell you something. In the big realm of life, it is not even about you. And we're over here and we're personalizing this. We're embroidering the situation with our initials. We're like, oh, this was all about me. They did this to me. No. God said, Kelly, you're the pastor of Parish Christian Center, and you're taking this personal, and really what it is they did this to me. They did it to me. They spit on Jesus, they cursed him, they did all sorts of things to him. And very few people in society can take anything. Everybody's all like, we're going to have a pity party if somebody looks at us wrong in Walmart. We can't take nothing. We are very bent up out of shape about everything. But if your nose is clean in the situation, you're sitting in a very good position. Stop taking it personal. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How do you get the irritability out? That is found in these three verses. You pray and you ask God, Lord, there's something unclean in me and it is the irritability. Now I'm asking you to take that out. And when you ask God to take something out of your life, that means that you're going to stop contributing to the mess. And if it's irritable that you are, then stop talking about everything about that. And I'm the world's worst. I want to ask 17 people if they agree with how I saw that situation. And really, it doesn't matter if anybody does. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And this verse actually means, and put a right spirit back in me. You can't let how the situation went make you sin. You don't need to do that. Other people's sin does not need to make you sin. But a lot of the sin that we find ourselves in branched off of what others do. You can stop that right there. Pluck it out. Okay, this is what they did. Here's what I'm not going to do. It's not going any further. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, put the joy back inside of me. God, I'm a believer. You don't have this for me. This came from the devil, and it came from me, and it came from the situation. But right now, I'm asking you to restore joy back into my life, because as a believer, that is what you have for me. And grant me, or give me, a willing spirit to sustain me. Are you willing to move past the irritability? Are you willing? Because, see, some people like to stay mad. Some people like to be mad, and that's the only way that they like to be. But at what point do you want to just go on and have joy in your life? You can't have them both. You're going to have to choose. And when you choose joy, you're going to have to say goodbye to everything else. Last place for me this morning, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses, start at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The first verse that we read today said, above all else, guard your heart. How is one of the ways that we do that? Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Not just be in your heart, but it has to rule in there. And that is one of the ways that you're going to guard your heart, is you're going to let the peace rule instead of how you feel. Because your feelings ain't right half the time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Y'all make an altar where you're at. Examine your heart. If this hit home with you and you say, God, I don't want to have the irritability, take it from me. You need to confess that. But we're getting our hearts prepared to have communion today.